Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
It is my year of breaking limits. I want to welcome you to this very special service this morning. This is our end of the month special Thanksgiving service, and it's also our covenant day of all unrest. I pray in the name of Jesus, the secret of all unrest will be delivered to you this morning. And from this service, no more toiling, no more stress, no more pressure, no more labor. You will continue to enjoy supernatural rest in the name of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, the word says, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And in verse 11, it said, "Let us labor therefore to enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." This morning, as we labor in the word, you will enter into God's rest in the mighty name of Jesus. The month is rounding up. By decreeing the name of Jesus, the month will not be over until your miracles are fully delivered in the name of Jesus. Say with me, I'm a child of destiny. That's our anchor scripture, anchor focus for the month, the prophetic focus. I'm a child of destiny. And our running theme for the month is understanding how God leads. And we are in part 5. All we are focused on and we're still focusing on is how to be led into our destiny. It's important for us to know that every child of God is a child of destiny. Destiny in the kingdom is also as far as you can see, so there's no limit. If you think you are walking in destiny, you are fulfilling destiny, you can also go beyond wherever you are. So there's no limit. So it's in phases. Just like somebody said, life is in phases. Men are in sizes. So destiny is also in phases. No wonder God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see. So you are not limited by me. You can only be limited by yourself, by what you can see. But I trust God in the name of Jesus. Somebody is going to see the light of the scripture this morning in the name of Jesus. Jesus further said to the disciples in John 14, 12, he said, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works." I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you will do more. You will fulfill your destiny. And to fulfill destiny, we must know how to access guidance. If you don't know a place, you need to seek to know from the one who knows. And God knows the end from the very beginning. So we need to access God's divine guidance. We need to access God's GPS. We need to access God's map, God's navigation. And all throughout the month, God has been showing us. In the first part of this teaching, we said to access God's guidance, one must be born again, must be baptized in the Holy Spirit, must be clothed with humility, and must be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. And we said two proofs of hearing God's voice is the peace of God and liberty of the Spirit. In part 2, we further said one must be spiritual to access divine guidance, one must crave to be led and through the revelation of the word. And two proofs, supernatural insight and divine strength. In part 3, we said to access divine guidance, we must pray and fast and also be in love with God and through visions and revelations. And two proofs, confidence, supernatural confidence and supernatural favor. And last week in part 4, we said to access divine guidance, we must create a serene and quiet environment and through the ministry of a teaching priest and through praise and worship. And two proofs, to be led being led in the spirit, pressure-free adventure, and supernatural joy. This morning, we're going to add two more to it before we begin to unfold the mystery of all unrest. Number one, how to access divine guidance through the witness of the Spirit. Through the witness of the Spirit. God speaks through our witness. What we mean by witness of the Spirit is your spirit picks what God is saying and confirms it to you. Just like a witness will appear in, in court or in any other place is needed, I say, yes, I agree to what this person is saying. That is the truth. So through the witness of the Spirit, God will speak through his Holy Spirit to our spirit, and our spirit will pick it up and say, yes, that is it. Then from your spirit, you hear God. You are hearing the voice of your spirit because your spirit is confirming what God is saying. So your spirit in the world of technology sync with what God is saying. So how do we get our spirit to sync, to pick, to witness, to deliver what God is saying? That's the next thing. It's not difficult at all, but it takes putting in our responsibility, doing what we need to do to build our spirit to that level. We must be very sensitive in the spirit. We must build up our spirit. We must work in the spirit in order for our spirit to be active in doing what it needs to do. That is the way that God speaks mostly now, that God gives instruction. So if you want to hear the voice of God, you may not hear the audible voice. According to Kenneth Hagin, I read How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. In there, he was describing that it's not all the time one can hear the audible voice of God. That may even be one in a lifetime, if at all you are going to hear it. So if you are waiting for God to say, my son, Jude. You know, I can mention Pastor Jude because he's not going to get angry. So if I mention somebody else, he might say, why did the pastor use me to preach? So if you wait for that, you may not hear that. We can count the number of people that God spoke to like that in the Bible. And according to those who have really worked with God, they said, before God will speak that way, it means that assignment is very critical and the person is not really paying attention. So he will by force want to. Like Moses, who would have told Moses to go back to Egypt? Is he a prophet that would tell him where Pharaoh is waiting for him? So it would take God to, you know, to call his attention and to speak to him, you know, to for him to be aware he needs to go back to Egypt. Or like Saul of Tarsus that was killing the believers, who would have ministered to Saul to be converted? But he had the voice of Jesus. But now, you don't wait to hear that audible voice because you can pick this signal in the spirit. So you have to build up your spirit. You have to be sensitive in the spirit. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19 to 20, the Bible says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So Peter was able to pick the voice of the Spirit because his spirit was alive, because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he has the Holy Spirit within him. So when you hear the voice of the Spirit, if you ever had anyone that says, God speaks to me, that's how we hear. That's how it's from your spirit. Your spirit is speaking the voice of the Spirit. So it's witnessing with the voice of the Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus, somebody's spirit will be alive this morning. And from today, you'll be picking the voice of the Spirit. And number two is to engage in prayer of inquiries. In order to be guided, you need to ask. You need to ask God. Ask God if you want to be guided. If you are not clear, you want to be married, and you have three men approached you already. So you have to ask God, Lord, now I have these three men. What are you saying? Which one of the three men? And you're going to prayer. And as you are praying, you are studying the word. You are reading anointed materials. God can witness to you. He can confirm which of the three men to you. From the word of God, a scripture can just come into your spirit. And so from your prayer of inquiry, your spirit is also picking up. You see how the two also works together. So you are reading the word and God just releases a word to you. Just like when God's servant was inquiring, Lord, should we stay in Ilorin? Or we go to Kaduna. Everything about the ministry was awesome in Ilorin then. Fellowship was great, but Kaduna was not really, you know, like that. But as he was praying with the wife, the Lord just opened the scripture, you know, about the city of Damascus. And go down to Damascus. And then it's the city of persecution. So Kaduna was like persecution then because Ilorin was calm. Coincidentally, I was born and raised in Ilorin, so I understand that very well. I mean, calm. not central, but very calm, very peaceful. Everybody cohabit very well. It's a place you will really want to settle, and it's peaceful. Than Kaduna, to go and live in Kaduna. And God said, go to the city of Damascus. So he picked that in the spirit. But he was asking God, prayer of inquiry. So you can be making inquiry from God, and God speak to your spirit or from the word. We had an example of David too, when he was faced with the Philistines' battle in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 18 to 25. At the first time, the Philistines came to him, and he asked God, shall I go, shall I pursue? God said, go, and you're going to deal with them. So he went. He fought the battle, he won. So he didn't assume that the same instruction will be for the second time when the Philistines came. He went back to God and asked God. Then God gave him another strategy. He said to him to set up a compass, and when he heard a noise of the mulberry trees, then the Lord would go before him. So this time around, God fought the battle for him. So it is very crucial for us to always return back to God. Don't assume because you have done it before, it can always be the same. God may have a different approach entirely. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that from this service on, someone's spirit will be alive to hear God and to know what God is saying per time. That's why in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So as you call on God, God is not a prayer-storing God. God is always willing to talk to us. Believe me, God is always willing. But are you willing to hear God? If you don't obey God, that's the only way you may not hear further instruction. If you disobey, if he gives you first instruction, you obey. He will give you next. But if you keep on disobeying, you will not be able to hear him. Because nobody likes to give instruction to someone who is not going to carry it out. If you have a friend that wants him to help you, you are in America, the friend is in Africa. You now call your friend, help me do this. So what about the thing I asked you to do? So I'm so busy. The second time, help me do this. I'm so busy. Will you contact the same person again? No, you just leave him. You look for someone else. So that's the reason why God may not be speaking to you. Maybe the one he has given to you, the first, the second, you didn't pay attention to it. So he's going to just leave you. I will just leave you on your own. But I pray in the name of Jesus, God will not leave you. He will keep on speaking to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, two proofs that God is leading us, or two proofs of access to divine guidance for this service. Number one, supernatural zeal. Supernatural zeal. When God leads you into doing anything, you will also have a zeal to match. You will just be driving. Zeal is being driving. Something is just pushing you. It's never going to be convenient all the times. It's never going to be very smooth. But yet, your zeal, people will be wondering, what's he gaining from all of these things? It's zeal. Because it's God that is leading you. Look at Jesus Christ. He went into the temple. And according to the prophecy, the zeal of the house of the Lord is eating me up. He started chasing all that were selling and buying. So when you see a child of God that is full of zeal, you despise all opposition. And I was meditating on that scripture, and I said, well, if it is in the day, in the contemporary time, that thing will be trending on social media. Pastor so-so-so-so went to the church and was flogging everybody. And it will be a negative trending, because they will say, is that how to show love? Is that how Jesus, will Jesus have done that when people don't like the truth? People don't like to do things right. They just like, whether they are right or wrong, just allow them to do whatever they want to do. Praise the Lord. But when you see a man of zeal, he's not moved by the way people will feel. He's not moved by what people will say. He's not moved whether people are going in line with him or they are going opposite direction. He just wants to please God because he has heard God. And so that zeal will be driving him. So that's a proof. When you just see that there are obstacles, people don't accept your opinion, they are not working with you, and yet something is telling you to keep on, that's God. Shout hallelujah. You just have that peace within all of the things you've mentioned, and you see how the zeal to go ahead. You become unstoppable, unmolestable, unharassable, or undefeatable. Then God is in it. Praise God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Oh no, let's go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. He said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So he didn't allow flesh and blood to stop him. He didn't allow his emotion, his feeling. He just obeyed God straight. That was Apostle Paul when God called him. And of course, in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, the prophet said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." His word was like a burning fire. So when you hear the voice of God, when you are led, it's like somebody that is burning on fire. You can't be burning with fire and just be relaxed and just be cold and just, no. You will note, if God is in that business, you will receive the zeal to move forward. If God is in that ministry, you will receive the zeal to make it work, regardless of any opposition. If God is in your career, regardless of your boss, who likes you or who doesn't like you, you will be fired up with the zeal of God. I pray in the name of Jesus today, someone will be fired up in Jesus' name. And number two is divine protection. If God is the one guiding you, you will always be protected. Exodus 23, verse 20. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." So, if God is leading you, he's leading you to the place he had prepared for you, and so he will always give his angels charge over you for divine protection. I said in the first service, when you are fulfilling God's mission, there will be opposition. Papa said years back, he said, opposition is a proof of your strong position. When you are opposed, it's because you have position. When you are a boss in a company and people oppose you, it's because you are a boss. Have you ever seen anybody fighting the messenger? I mean, nobody cares. But you, as the head of department, you as the supervisor, you will see people will gang up against you at times because you are occupying a position. And opposition should not stop anyone from fulfilling his destiny, because opposition will always be there, but you will always be protected if God is in that business with you. Now, look at David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." Even with all of those blessings, in verse 4, "Even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So you will always, it's not saying you will not pass through the valley of the shadow of death because the Lord is with you. You will definitely pass through the valley of the shadow of death even though God is with you. But the truth is, you will always overcome. Praise the Lord. You will always overcome. For the fact that you are challenged doesn't mean, oh, maybe you are not doing something right. Someone might be wondering, but I've been in this commission. Why am I facing what I'm facing? You are facing what you are facing because you are going into a next level. For every next level, for every new level, there will be new devil to oppose that. But because God is the one leading you, he will always be with you. He will protect you. So when you are passing through challenges and difficulties in life, don't begin to query and worry about yourself. What's wrong with me? Am I doing it right or wrong? Is this thing really working at all? And you begin to doubt. Oh, but in our church, they say everything has always been working. We don't have a better last year. Yes, but that doesn't mean we don't face challenges. The only thing is we don't see the challenge as obstacle. We don't allow the challenge to limit us. Praise the Lord. We overcome challenges easily by the victory of the word of God. So when you are challenged, God is always with you. That's why the Bible says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise the Lord. I see God divinely protecting you from today in the name of Jesus Christ. He had a vision of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verse 7 to 8, he said, "Men of vision shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one trust another. They shall walk everyone in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded." He's not saying they will not fall. At times you may fall upon the sword, but you're not going to be wounded. So at times it may be like Satan is just beating you left, right, and centers, and things are not working. It's just to prepare you for the better place. If it is God's vision, God will always take you to the best place. Now look at the process of making wine. The grapes can stop as a fruit, because you can eat the grapes as fruit. Now, but if you eat the grape as fruit, you have ended that destiny. But the same grape can be processed into wine. Now, but the process of making grapes wine is a difficult process. It has to be crushed. It has to be pressed. It has to be squeezed. Maybe that's the level where you are right now. And you're asking, but why are things difficult for me? Why are things, am I still a believer? Why is something wrong? No, God is just making you from your grape to your wine. So what you are going through is just a crushing, it's just a squeezing, it's just a pressing. So that the better part of you will come alive. So that when the wine comes, everybody will now see the glory of God upon your life. So never be discouraged. God is with you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And also remember, even wine differs. According to those who drink wine, it differs by age. Wine gets sweeter by age. I wish I had that experience to tell you, but I don't have that experience. Anybody has the experience in the church? You know wine differs by age, sweeter, whether now or before. If you had it before, don't be here. Praise the Lord. Amen. I wish I had it, but I can't tell you. I don't have that experience. But you've had it before, that wine is sweeter by age. They said if you keep wine for like 50 years, it's sweeter than the fresh one. True or false? So now, even as wine, there will be some waiting time. So God just made you a wine right now. It looks like nothing is still working. What's going on? God is putting more value in you so that you become the best wine. I decree the name of Jesus. Somebody's imagined the best wine here in the mighty name of Jesus. So God is with you for divine protection. Give the Lord a big, big hand of praise. And on this covenant day of all-round rest, I decree in the name of Jesus, someone under the sound of my voice will enjoy all-round rest. We must recognize that all-round rest is the will of God for all the redeemed. He wants you to be at rest. He wants you to be at peace. He wants your life to be trouble-free. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, according as his divine power has given unto us offerings that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Glory and virtue is a position of rest in the Lord. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I decree in this service this morning, someone's anxiety will be over. Someone's frustration will be over. Someone's lack of peace will be over. Someone's pressure will be over. You came here with any form of sickness and disease, high blood pressure or whatever. It's a form of unrest in your health. You are going home with a full blown of divine health in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, 7 ways to continue to enjoy the reality of all-round rest. Number one, you must be born again. There is no gift of the kingdom that you can access without being a child of God. You must be born again. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When you are born again, even if things are not going the way you expected, you will see our peace. If you see somebody that is rich and is not born again, any little fall or drop in business is full of anxiety. Oh, how am I going to pay all this bill? Oh, how am I going to get the next contract? It's shattered. But when you see a child of God, even if you don't know where the next meal will come from, your mind is at peace because you have confidence in the Lord. You got peace like a river. Like that song says, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river in my soul. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. You just have this all-round peace, all-round rest because you're a child of God. And number two, you must seek to know the truth concerning all-round rest. And that is why you are here this morning. The word of God is the truth. No matter what the economy is saying, no matter what the government is saying, no matter what the policy is saying, no matter what climate is saying, the word of God is the truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in earth, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. So be born again, seek to know the truth. Number three, we must continue to build our faith in the word concerning all and rest. Build your faith. Build your faith. Build your faith. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 to 3, the word says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And in verse 3, for we which we have believed do enter into his rest. So you can only enter into rest when you have the word of God. I remember in the year 2009, I was working with a company not too far away here in New Jersey. Before I joined the company, there has been this rumor, oh, this company is going to fold down, this company is going to shut down and this. So everybody has been like one leg in, one leg out. And finally, it came, and they asked all of us, the staff, from the general manager to the list, to begin to count the inventory. And then everybody, so the CEO came all the way from Canada, Toronto. And he finally came to announce that the company is finally shutting down. Believe me, God is my witness. Peace. Rest, complete rest, no anxiety, I was already, by the Spirit of God, calculating, okay, if I go now, what do? Go back to school to get my education or what? Then, meanwhile, other people were like, this. Eventually, because the word of God can never fail, my job was kept. Those people who were anxious and whatever, they lost the job. Peace in the midst of trouble. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, as you build your faith in the midst of challenge, you will be stable. That was why Jesus Christ was able to sleep when there was storm. Carest thou that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. I already told you we are going to the other side. So what's the problem with the wind? We are going to the other side. You should have just held on to that word. We are going to the other side. In other words, he said, build your faith on the word of God. Because surely trouble will always come. Don't let anybody deceive you. But trouble can never overcome you. That's it. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory. And number four, be in love with God in truth and in deed. Love God. Love God. You can love God without... You can actually serve God without loving him. But you cannot love God without serving him. You can actually serve God. You can actually serve God without, how do I put it now? You can't love God without serving him. Yes, you can serve without love. Just to show people that, okay, we are also doing it. I service. But when you genuinely love God, you will serve him. You always look for opportunity to serve. I once said years back, if anybody frustrates you to leave the church, beg. Instead of getting angry and leave, beg. Because anybody that frustrates you to leave church is just trying to take your, Satan is just trying to take your blessing. Beg the person. You want to frustrate me to leave, I beg you, please. Because I want to remain here. Because it's your place of blessing. Don't let Satan chase you out of your place of blessing. Shout hallelujah. Be in love with God. You are not, it's not the pastor you have come to love. It's not the leaders of a church, but your love for God will always put you in the best position with God. Shout hallelujah. Somebody told me when I was coming to America that you put this Bible on your head. You know, America, nobody have time for that. You just walk and walk. Even marriage don't work in America. I said, minus my own. And I vow, I said, if there is no church again in America, I will never backslide. You see this Bible? And I came with tapes of my father in the Lord. I graduated under Bishop David Abioye then. I was coming live and fresh from Abuja, so I got a lot of tapes. And thank God the car I bought first, it is a cassette player. So 24-7 as I'm driving, cassette player is playing right there. It's a bastard devil. I can never backslide by the grace of God. Praise God. And you will never backslide too. So just love God. Just love God. You get a place, there's no church. Start one day. Praise the Lord. And number five, are we number five? Yeah, be a soul winner. And that's one way you can express your love to God. Be a soul winner. Win soul. Win soul. This is the season of harvest. You remember this year, one winner, 10 souls. Praise the Lord. Don't let coronavirus be a barrier. Because you can pray, even if you can't go out. And miraculously, as you are just talking to people, they are just coming. Praise God. And it's not late. He said, do not say it's 4 months and then the harvest. Look at the field. It's white. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages. John 4, 36, thereabout. Praise the Lord. So every soul winner is a distributor of peace, and no one lacks what he gives. So as you are distributing peace, because the gospel of peace, you are also receiving peace. Luke chapter 10, verse 5 to 6, into whatsoever house you enter, say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. Now, I live in a Jewish community. If you get to any of the Jewish and you say, salam, that's peace, they will smile. Praise the Lord. Even if they don't want to smile, they will smile. When they hear peace, nobody wants to reject peace. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that today the peace of God will saturate your heart. And so, in our number six, be committed to worship God in church. In church. And now, this is God's instruction. I didn't write this teaching. I'm just bringing it to us by the grace of God. This is the direct word from God's servant. Do you believe this man hears God? Aha. So, he's telling us now, and I'm re-echoing it as the trumpet, that you want to enjoy peace, serve God in church. Now the church is opened. Agree, when the church is not opened, everybody is watching virtually. Now the church is opened and you leave few blocks to the church and you can't come to church. Don't complain if anything is happening. Don't complain. You don't have any excuse. We have 6 feet apart in the church. We put marks. What do you want again? What's the excuse again? Praise the Lord. So take advantage of it. Take advantage of coming to church. The church is opened. First service, second service. If need be, we open third service so that we can fellowship together. This is where you can be fully rested and settled. Shout hallelujah. In Psalm 132, verse 13 to 16, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless our provision. I will satisfy our poor with bread. Shout hallelujah. So take advantage of that, of fellowshipping together. And I believe God, very shortly, all the restrictions will be over. So that everybody will be back to celebrate God. So that you also have opportunity to serve. You are an usher. Can you do ushering in your house? You can't. Praise the Lord. So you can only come and usher when you are in church. So you have more opportunity to serve when you come to church. So take advantage of that and you have all round rest. And finally, number seven, enter into covenant in to keep serving God and the interests of his kingdom as a way of life. Like I said, don't let anything take you away from serving the Lord. Enter into that covenant. They did that in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 12 to 15. And God gave them rest roundabout. I decree in the name of Jesus from this service this morning, someone here under the sound of my voice is enjoying roundabout rest. Are you that person? Jump to your feet this morning. Let's appreciate the Lord. Let's give him praise. Give him glory. Magnify him. Exalt his name. Celebrate him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be glorified. Thank him and thank him and thank him. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Somebody celebrate God. Somebody celebrate God. Thank him for his word. If you caught any light, any revelation, why not appreciate him? God is the giver of the word. He's the confirmer of the word. Magnify his name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Please take your seat. If you are here this morning, you want to enjoy hearing the voice of God, and you want to enjoy rest, I'm speaking from the point of a practitioner, and I'm speaking from a privileged one who has enjoyed rest. Believe me, I have enjoyed rest. And these are the things we put, even in the midst of trouble. Like I said, when you enjoy rest, it doesn't mean that there will not be trouble, there will be troubles and challenges, but yet you'll be fully rested. Even though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So you want to come into that level of hearing God and enjoy supernatural rest. All you need to do, surrender your life to Christ. And if you are backsliding, rededicate your life to him. Return. He said, return unto me, and I will return back unto you. Somebody wants to return this morning. You're going to pray this very simple prayer with me. Either you are coming for the first time, you want to give your life to him, or you want to rededicate your life to him. Bow your head. You are in-house or watching online from anywhere. You are connected all across the world. Say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I have sinned and come short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood who shed for me on the cross of Calvary. I surrender my life to you. I rededicate my life to you. From today, I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord, and I will serve you forever in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you for everyone who said this prayer. And I pray in the name of Jesus, the same grace that brought them, we also keep them forever. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.